There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katzlamitas. I write for Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly Magazine, all the titles in Greenspun Media Group and Vegas Magazine, which is owned by Niche Media Group. And I'm also featured in The Sunday, which comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on
the Saturday.
And the column's called The Cats Report, I should note that. And on a recent cover of The Sunday, which came out on
the Saturday.
It was Wayne Newton and Boo.
Oh my gosh. That is by far the cutest picture I've ever
Wayne
seen in my
and Boo.
Life. It is like a white teeth commercial for both monkey and human.
It's one of those things where you do all this work and you spend all this time prepping and do all this stuff. And then you hit on something like that that was not really planned. That was not the photo
no.
that we had expected.
No. You expected to use the photo with the car at the cover.
Yeah. That, it was all in a portrait and lights set up.
There was like no lighting or anything
and
for this.
And then Boo comes out and the whole thing goes in a different direction.
And literally Wayne looks and goes, smile, Boo. And and Boo just looks at the camera and smiles. And the two of them are smiling with their pearly whites. I mean, it was definitely one of those moments that we could never do again.
Yeah, it was a very cool thing. And it was
it's a great story. Great job.
Yeah, nobody's talking about the story. They're like, look at that picture. How did you set that up? They're all asking Krista Vargas, our photographer, how he managed to do that. And he goes, I was just standing there.
I clicked,
and they brought him out. He's a natural.
But it was great.
It was fun to write and revisit all those times we've had. And there was a column about Wayne in the Weekly that I liked.
Yeah, that was
a lot.
Very nice. And also, thank you for coming to the opening.
It was a lot of fun.
Huge success.
Oh
yes.
My gosh, yeah, it was a great time. A really great time. And I mean, when you were out there, everybody who was there was somebody. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It was a very nice night, and I loved the kind of I remember taking a photo of Wayne talking to Carrot Top at one point.
Yeah.
And it was just like how happy Carrot Top was to finally track down Wayne in this event. He was looking for him.
And
all
also,
night.
It was very nice. Chris Angel and his mom came early. That was really nice.
Yes.
We had Tyson Beckford, Luanelle. You finally got to meet Luanelle. Shout out to my girl, my bestie, Luanelle.
Oh, boy.
Who cried and cried and cried. It was the cutest thing ever.
Yeah. She is a huge Wayniac. And
Melody Sweets had the cutest picture out there that she's like, my new boyfriend. And she went #swoon. And the way he was holding her hand, the way she was looking down, it was like, oh, it was so cute.
That was a fun moment. Yeah, there were a lot of people who were really interested in it was funny.
I was going
toward him, and I felt like there was the Pied Piper of Wayniacs, because there was a few people I know who knew I know Wayne, and they're like following me over trying to get to him.
Yeah, exactly.
They're trying to use me to go over.
It was great. I mean, we had Rock of Ages cast, my crush Bob Torti. We had Jersey Boys, oh my gosh, as Fantasy, Thunder, Chippendales. I mean, there
Chip
were
so, out
yeah,
there.
I
all
can't,
the shows.
Yeah, like it's, I'm gonna
it's
forget a,
blur.
A bunch. It was so many,
but it was a great night, a great Vegas.
Lance
experience.
Burton, great to see
Lance
Burton,
was out there. We took the tour with Lance.
Kelly Clinton and
Clint. Clint. Was out there, both of them.
But thanks to everyone who came out. So it's I now have my life back, so I'm back in the studio.
Well, with that, we are going to have a very compelling guest join us.
This is probably going to give me a heart attack and make me lose
the
my life.
The founder of Fright Dome, Jason Egan, will be with us shortly. But first, we have Josh Bell, and his movie this week is Pan. So stick around. I know we will.
This is Chloe Crawford at Fantasy at the Luxor, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
We have an ancient prophecy from when the fairy kingdoms reigned on this island. The prophecy tells of a boy born of the love between a fairy prince and a human girl. A boy who would be disappeared from this world until he was old enough to return and lead an uprising against me. A boy, so says the prophecy, who could fly.
That's Hugh Jackman as the pirate Blackbeard in Pan. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. This Peter Pan prequel gives the character a cluttered and unnecessary origin story, retrofitting him with a cliched Hollywood chosen one narrative. Pan overexplains every whimsical element of the Peter Pan story while leaving out important connections that would make its character prototypes recognizable as the familiar figures they're meant to become. It's a rush of special effects that signify nothing, telling a story that pretends to add to a beloved mythology while instead mostly just cheapening it. I give Pan 2 stars out of 5. If you're looking for spectacle at the movies this week, instead check out Matt Damon in Ridley Scott's smart and exciting sci-fi movie The Martian, or watch Joseph Gordon-Levitt as high-wire artist Philippe Petit in Robert Zemeckis' The Walk, which expands beyond large format screens into wide release this week. For something a little more intense, the drug war thriller Sicario is dark and suspenseful, with a great performance from Emily Blunt. And still at a couple of local theaters is the delightful romantic comedy Sleeping With Other People, starring Jason Sudeikis and Alison Brie. That's what's going on in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a guy who has a very interesting job. He freaks people out for a living. He is the founder of the Fright Dome, which every year takes over the Adventure Dome at Circus Circus. This is the 13th year, lucky 13th, for Fright Dome at Circus Circus. And this year, the attraction features such houses as the Insanitarium. I think I work there. Friday the 13th, 4D, A Deadly Experience, Wasteland, Slaughterhouse, and Dollhouse. Right, Jason Egan?
Yep. What? Yep.
Welcome back
to
Cats
of
the Dish.
Okay, I'm already freaked out about
Jason
the Dollhouse.
Jason Egan, an American in Las Vegas success story and the scariest dude I know.
Well, thank you for having me.
How are you doing,
sir? I haven't gotten sleep yet, but I'm doing good. You know, this is the 1 month or, you know, month and a half that I don't get much sleep, but it's all for the greater good of scaring the living hell out of Las Vegas. So, you know, I'll sacrifice a few hours of sleep to do that.
What's the saying? I'll sleep on November 2nd. Is that the day when everything stops for you?
You know, I wish. It's still, we have to load out then. So we've got about 2 weeks of loading out. So, you know, and then we still get the phone calls, this, that, and the other. So I'd say December, but then I'm planning again. That's the problem. You know, everybody else is coming. They want their props built. So there's no rest for the wicked. That statement is very true.
That statement applies to you, obviously. Okay, so the last time, it's been a couple years since I was at Fright Dome, and I think the last time that I met you, or the only time I met you, was at Fright Dome. And I have to say, I was petrified, terrified. I literally, my nerves were shot. I mean, somebody would walk by me in the casino and I was thinking that they were going to murder me.
That's perfect. That's great therapy for you. Yeah,
so,
that
so
means we did our job.
How does this affect your dating life? No, I'm kidding.
It's not good at all.
Actually, that is a good.
Yeah, it does not help.
Was it last year when you talked about the...
Yeah, no, it does not work.
What was it that the last year had gotten annulled?
Yeah, it got annulled. That was a year. That lasted a year.
Through that reporting, you got a hot date for the opening of Fright Dome.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Wait a minute. So wait, you got married and got annulled?
Yeah, we got an old she's a doctor in town, and you know, it takes a very special person with a love of Halloween, you know, to understand the amount of hours that I work. I mean, now mind you, in the month of March I can take a 2-week vacation to some crazy exotic island or do something crazy, you know, but during the months of September and October, you know, I am married to Circus Circus and the event. So it's hard for everybody. They don't understand, you know, what a 22 hour day is. And, you know, like this week or this past week, I was up for 50 hours straight with little hour and 45 minute naps here and there, you know, but they don't get it, you know, but someone will eventually.
What freaks me out the most is not so much the hours, because I mean, I think that a lot of people work absolutely crazy hours, especially in this town. Mm-hmm. But what would freak me out is when it comes time to go to sleep, let's say, when it comes time to turn the lights out, I would be very scared to turn the lights out with you.
That's another thing. Mission accomplished right there. No, mission accomplished. No,
I'm thinking, like, is there going to be a chainsaw, an ice pick under the, you know, the pillow? Like, is something, like, I would think that even you, do you try to scare people in your normal everyday life, or is it just
absolutely
your occupation?
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah,
you're not helping out your dating life at all. I have to tell you.
We did a prank at my house. A friend of mine was coming over, and I had this refrigerator box because I had some new patio furniture. And still to this day, you know, I put the GoPros out on my front porch and in my little glass window up front, and had the refrigerator box out there with the patio furniture box. Got my pig mask and waited. I knew I have a guard gate, so I know exactly when the people are going to arrive, and scared the living crap out of her. So, I mean, it's still, I felt like
wow.
I went back 15 years, and, you know, I just did this a few months ago. So,
And also the thought of the fact that you have multiple GoPros at your house is another thing that's not going well for your dating life, right?
GoPros, drones, yeah, you know. That it could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing.
There you
know,
you go. You're right. It does take a special kind of lady.
It's so funny because you're a pretty even keel guy. I've known you for a long time now. Pretty moderate.
I'm seeing here.
Pretty moderate in your temperament, in your approach. And yet there is something under, there's an undercurrent of imaginative horror thoughts.
I always say, and so was Norman Bates.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so was, he was such a nice guy, loved his mother, you know, he was such, so calm, but no, people even put a picture of me compared to him up online before too, but no,
okay,
it's
all
about what's
inside. Yeah, Anthony Perkins.
Yeah, it's all what's inside, and you know, I've got a twisted mind. You know, you've seen that for years and years.
When you were a kid, were you like this? I mean, I guess, how do you get to the point where you say, you know what, I am going to freak people out for my livelihood? How do you get to that? How is that your calling?
Well, there was a realization one day, and I know I've talked to John about this before, but I had a party planning service, and I dressed up as Barney, Power Rangers, Batman.
That's scary.
Yeah, that was scary. And then I had a party. Yeah, I had a parent call
me. Call the chainsaw for that.
That was a weird time. But I had a parent call me one day, and they're like, "Can you do a Halloween party for my kid? We want to do a haunted house." And I was getting like $50 to $90 a party. In $90 party, I was doing amazing. I was like, "This is a long time ago." And I'm like, "Oh God, I just made $90." So I asked the parent what their budget was, and the parent said to me, "It's $400. And I was like, "Are you kidding me right
now?"
Wow,
that's like winning a lottery.
Yeah, I was like, I was in high school at the time when I had this business. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is great." Set up the haunted house party. Of course, did it for the $400. Rented a fog machine at the time. Had my friends dress up. And the next day after that, I had all the parents calling from the party. And they're like, "It's not my kid's birthday, but we want to have a haunted house party too." So I made like $5,000 that month. And I was like, "Oh my gosh." So at that point, I knew this could potentially be a business. People love this stuff. You know, this, I could make some money doing this. And so I started a haunted house in Lincoln, Nebraska in 98 when I was going to college.
That sounds scary right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
there's
an old
a lot
lightning
of material.
Rod.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Old lightning rod manufacturing plant. It was really, really freaking creepy. And that went off really successful too. So I'm like, you know, my mom's still like, you know, go to school, become an attorney. This isn't going to make you any money. And then I'm like, so at that point I set my sights for all the cities in the country that had a lack of haunted houses. And then Vegas popped up on the radar. I'm like, wow, Vegas has got nothing for Halloween because it's such a new city still. And so I came out here, saved up some money. Go figure, I worked at MGM Grand as a valet. Now MGM Resorts are my partners. But so I worked over there as a valet and saved up some money, started a haunted house. And then Circus Circus came through my haunted house and they loved it. And they're like,
"This is the one that was on Highland."
Yeah,
right?
2828 Highland Drive in an old abandoned ballroom.
Which is a pretty scary
creepy building. Yeah. If I could get that building back to do some crazy project over there, I would. But great building, you know, great start for Las Vegas. And Vegas was kind of like taken by storm when they saw that haunted house. They're like, and they still remember it in comment to this day. They're like, "Oh my God, that was so amazing." And I was on a super low budget. But yeah, and then, you know, it just took off from there. And, you know, now we've done haunted houses in New York, Hong Kong. We're doing one in Boston for sure next year. The government finally approved us. And, you know, we do whatever people want. We'll do
now,
what else
is.
Wow.
This is all Jason Egan's operation, right?
Absolutely.
Everything you've talked about.
Absolutely.
Your deal with MGM Resorts came through your original deal with Circus Circus.
Yeah.
Mandalay Resort. I mean, they inherited you.
Exactly.
And you're leasing the space.
Yep.
Right?
I own the event. You know, a lot of people get confused about it. They're like, "You own it?" I'm like, "Yeah, of course." So that was the original deal that I wanted to own the event, and I leased the Adventure Dome from them. So I pay them a nice chunk of change to lease the Adventure Dome, and we do it that way, and it's been good ever since. You know, I mean, sure, do we have our hiccups? Yes, but they really let me do what I want to do around there, which is great. I mean, they let me do it as scary as I want.
I was going to say, have you ever gone too far? Was there ever a thing where you're like, "Well, there's a line. Yeah, I just crossed it."
No, I know where the line is. I go right up to the edge and teeter it, you know, all the time, but no, and usually never cross it. I haven't had honestly, our complaint factor is barely anything. So, and we pay close attention to that too. So people expect, as long as you inform them ahead of time that this is not going to be a Mickey Mouse experience, you know, Looney Tunes style. I mean, it's going to be intense.
Called, yeah, Freight Dome. It's called a haunted house. So therefore, you know that it's going to be scary.
Exactly. I mean, we're ranked in the top, we're ranked in the top three right now. I'm hoping we're going to creep up and hit that number one spot on USA Today. But, you know, yeah, they get it. You know, people understand it. We never have a complaint that was too scary. You know, they just get it. And people running out terrified. They're using the safe word in a sanitarium and stuff like that. So we know.
Wait a minute. The safe word in the sanitarium. Can we? I just didn't want to like just completely skip over that. So you're experience needs a safe word.
Absolutely.
Okay, and explain what is the type of things that are in
the insanitarium. Let's start with this one.
Yeah, let's kind of talk about what the adventure is.
New approach in this house, right?
Yeah, this is the insanitarium. You go through all alone. No guides, no groups, no safety in numbers. You are by yourself, for starters. So
Cats and I couldn't be together. We would be separated.
I'm not going. Yeah, you are separated. That's part of the fun.
I lived my entire time in his back. My head was in his back.
You go in and you check in with the nurse's station and you sign a waiver, understanding your rules and so on. And you basically just signed your life away. And then you take an elevator down to the lower corridors. It's a very interactive experience where there's a couple different paths that you, it's kind of like choose your own path, and you get stuck in certain corridors and you get locked in certain cells. There's a morgue experience that I've got a full-blown reproduction of a morgue where I've actually used some of the morgue doors and parts from the Norwich State Hospital back in Connecticut. So I'm using real parts. We've got a bathtub from the hospital. I've got chairs. I've got lighting fixtures, all kinds of fun stuff. So that's probably haunted
and spooky, absolutely. And spirits came with it.
Very first year for this.
Yeah. It was an idea I got from Zach Baggins because he was collecting all these haunted props. And I'm like, this is a great idea. If I don't have a haunted building, I'm going to bring the haunted to them. I'm going to bring the haunt to the building. So the one experience that you do, you actually have to, you're locked in the morgue and you can't find your way out. The only way out is to get on the slab and to be slid into the cooler, and that's the only way to get out. So,
do you know this in advance, or you have to figure it out yourself?
You figure it out yourself. Yes. Yeah,
so, What's the response? Well,
the actors, of course, will coach and help, and stuff. And it's fun, and the response has been amazing. It was the first time. I don't know if anybody that actually slips you on a morgue door and opens the door and slips you on the shelf and slides you through. I've never seen another haunted house do that or even heard of it. So just an idea I had, to really test people's fears, claustrophobic experience they've never experienced. Not many people have slid on a morgue, before.
No, morgue door.
So no. I thought it was fun. So that's how you get out. You get locked in a nice little tiny padded cell, and you have to find your way out. And you're with this big, giant, 300-pound guy that's covered in feces and, eating feces out of a diaper.
Oh,
it's just truly disgusting. Of course, it's not real feces, but it looks the part, and your imagination's just running wild. So you're in a 6x6 cell with this guy, this padded cell, and, you get locked in. So it's
my heart is racing listening.
It's very interactive. It's nothing like we've ever done before, and it's fun because they go through a door after the morgue. Before they get in, they see the table. So I bring them around. They see the table right there. And they're like, okay. I let them out one door. They learn that path just leads them right back around to back in the morgue. So your only way out is to get on the table. Yeah. So they get that, and the actor slides them through. And it's worked out, like I said, worked out flawlessly this first weekend. So I was really impressed. But beautiful haunted house, beautiful experience.
I don't think that... Beautiful.
I think it's
the 300-pound guy with feces and autopsy slabs and haunted furniture.
Beautiful women's execution.
Beautiful. For some reason, I think blankin' scary is what I think.
Jason, you guys are drawing more annual numbers than ever, mm-hmm. right? You've surpassed 100,000.
We knock on the door right around 100,000 each year, and. It just depends on the calendar year. This year, we have an amazing calendar year. It really depends. Like, when there's a Friday the 13th in the calendar, oh my gosh, that's a sold-out night, however you look at it. And we don't have one this year, unfortunately. But we do have Halloween falling on a Saturday this year, which gives us 5 full weekends, which is unheard of. And that's the best. This is the best calendar year since 2011 right now. So it's going to be a good year. So,
and what is your exact demographic? I know when I've been there, I've seen a lot of older teenagers who are late teens, maybe, and even mid teens and early 20s. Where does your greatest volume of traffic?
All over the place. The traffic's all over the place, especially like Thursdays and Sundays are an older crowd, college and above. And then our Fridays are a very mixed crowd. And then Saturday goes really young. So Saturday goes, your 13 to 18-year-old crowd. So it really is. We are such a diverse crowd. I can't even tell you. I mean, it's just... it's nuts. It's changed a lot because, you know, even, you know, all the celebs and stuff that went through this last weekend, you know, people, adults enjoy it. They really do. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell the adults come on Thursday, Sunday. So it's, you know, a little less crowded, you know, a lot less crowded, but, you know, they can experience it's not sold out and, they can really see everything, but, yeah, it's been all over the board, and that's their goal, though. That's why we team up with things like Friday the 13th, so then we can get my age, you know, the people that grew up with Friday the 13th in there. So I'm always, you know, bringing in new items. I mean, go figure. I just had a conversation yesterday with a studio that's bringing back another horror movie, and I'm like, oh, this is great. Can't say what the horror movie is, but it's a good one. But that we have not worked with before, but yeah, one that's extremely popular.
One you haven't worked with? I thought you probably worked with everything.
Ishtar.
I have not worked with. Who I have not worked with? I have not worked with Hellraiser. I have not worked with Friday the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay, all right.
I have not worked with, who was another big one I have not worked with? I have not worked with Scream. So there's a few that I haven't worked with yet, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what pops up.
In the Friday the 13th attraction this year, what is 4D exactly in this context? There are different descriptions of what 4D is. Is it mixing 3D and live actors? Is that how
it
is?
Well, it does have that. So it's 3D. Plus, you get it's these specialized chairs that have the ankle ticklers, air blast, smells. They pokes in your back. So when Jason Voorhees is actually stabbing someone, you know, in the back, you can feel it poke in your back. So it's a very weird experience. And then you've got blood blast to the face too. So you got water blasters that blast you every time there's a splash of blood. So that's fun. And then people were literally clapping after it. I was so pleased with the experience because I get jaded by this stuff. So I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, your meter is not the best one.
No, I bring my friends. I'm like, please come look and see if it's good. You know, that's why Shayna was walking through with me. I was taking her friends through, and I'm like, we got to experience the Friday the 13th thing so I can see if you like it or not, you know, and they loved it, clapping at the end. So the 4D is that other, so you have the 3D glasses on, it's in 3D, and you add that extra dimension, you know, the smells, the pokes, the tickles. I hate to call it tickles because it just doesn't sound scary, but I mean, but yeah, you add all those different elements in there, and it's a cool experience. So
wow, you really are a deranged individual. I'm
Thank
sorry.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about Shayna's involvement in this, by the way. She was out there on opening night, and she's been involved in some promotion.
Is that Mokler?
Yeah. Her and I met at Fright Dome a few years ago, and we just became good friends, stayed in touch. She helps me out with that. I'm on the executive board of the Nevada SPCA, so she helps me out with all that stuff as well, too. And we were talking, she loves Fright Dome. So I'm like, hey, by the way, do you want to? We've never had an official host of the black carpet. And I thought, that'd be really cool. So I'm like, you know, and of course, I wanted a beautiful girl to be the host. I'm like, oh, Shayna'd be perfect. So I asked Shayna, she's like, of course. Yeah, well, I'll be glad to come up here. You know, so she helped me out. She hosted and it went over really, really well. So we were really pleased with that. So now, but I keep adding these different elements. So now everybody's going to be like, well, who's hosting next year? I keep adding work to my plate. You know, that's what I do.
That's the thing. Do you ever feel like, wow, I have to outdo myself?
All the time.
I'm sorry. What you just described about the Insanitarium, that is the one-on-one experience, all that sort of stuff. I've never heard of anybody doing that. So, I mean, I don't know how you top it. I mean, and I assume that there has to be some rules that you can't break.
Yeah, there's always rules, you know, that we can't. We don't swear. There's a couple haunted houses in town that swear at the customers and say vulgar sexual, you know, things to people. And I won't do that. I refuse to do that. I have no desire.
It is.
It's kind of it just doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, why do you need that to scare the people?
Yeah, it's not scary. It's more you're making me mad.
What kind of female wants to come through the haunted house and have, you know, sexual innuendos said to them and stuff? It doesn't make any sense to me. And the touching, while in a sanitarium, they will touch you to help you down onto something, like if they're helping you on the morgue slab or something like that, they're not grabbing you and yanking you, you know, because I'm not going to be the one to determine what's an appropriate touch and what's not, you know, and it's always up to the person to determine that. And I don't want to risk that kind of liability. Circus doesn't want to risk that type of liability. And I really don't want to do it. I can scare you just as bad without grabbing you and putting a bag on your head and waterboarding you and stuff like that. You know, I'm
okay. These are the things that go through his head.
Don't give him any ideas.
Yeah. Well, and I'm out for the masses. You know, there might be a select group of people in Las Vegas that really want that. But, you know, I'm out to, you know, have, you know, a great experience for all of Las Vegas.
And also, it's more of actually helping you so that, you know, you're not like just keep hitting things. And it's just kind of a guide. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't do that. But no, you know, I'm confident now with testing a couple of things, you know, in the elevator and stuff. We're going to come up with some new ideas for this next year. I've already got some crazy things running through my head, how we can interact more and what's worked, what hasn't worked. And we've been literally all this week, we've been redoing certain things that didn't work. So my crew has been working. I've got a crew of 15 people working, you know, Monday, Tuesday, you know, tonight and tomorrow, just to make sure everything's working flawlessly. And that's me. That is the craziness in my head that's going on. I could save the money and not do anything and just like turn the key back on Friday, you know, tonight. So, but I don't do that. You know, yeah. I sit and fix things and fix things some more.
I know we're running out of time, but really quick, I want to know, just because like I've watched The Walking Dead and stuff like that, and they actually have walker camp, you know, where you have to, so is it for these actors, is it a big training camp that they have to go through a lot of training, or is it people that you've worked with before and they kind of know what to do?
The great thing is I get so many return actors each year. I mean, so many. I get probably, I think, a 60%, you know, this year, you know, so that's easy for us. You know, we're constantly redoing their costumes and redoing their characters and stuff. So that's simple. But yeah, I bring in my good friend, Gary J. Tunnicliffe, who did the movie Hellraiser, Scream, My Bloody Valentine. You know, he's done any major horror movie. He did it, the effects on it. So he helps train the actors. We help dress them up. And yeah, we're doing constant training, constant haunted house training. We're bringing the haunted houses in several times prior to the season. And, you know, we're doing, you know, scare zone training, zombie training, you know, whatever it is. We're continually training these guys to make sure they look amazing, because that's what it always boils down to. I know I always say it, but your haunted house is as good as your worst actor. If you don't have great actors, you've got nothing. You know, we can always, and I know to always tell John this, we can always create amazing scenes. That's the easy part. But your haunted house is only as good as your worst actor. If you don't have good actors, you've got nothing, nothing at all. You have to have the good actors. It's so, so important to have
the good
actors.
Well, I'm scared already, and I haven't even met any of the actors.
There are some talented people, and there are a lot of them, more than 400.
Oh, right? Yeah. We hired like 430, 440 people. I mean, it was the hiring was insane, and I'm so guilty of going over budget. I'll see an extra person when we're full, and I'll be like, oh, that person would be great for that. You know, I'm flying, and I fly one of our zombies. You know, we have two half girls that have no legs and they walk around in their hands. One of them is a zombie. One is in our freak show scare zone. And
met them last year.
They love coming up every year. I mean, this is the highlight of their entire year. But people are just amazed when they see Ksenia coming in her zombie costume. We spend 2 hours getting her into makeup, you know, all zombied out, gutted out, guts trailing. I mean, it's just an amazing costume. So we really spend a lot of time on her costuming.
Wow.
So much time.
All right, Jason Egan, we got to close the crypt.
Ooh.
That was quick, huh?
Yes.
That's
time,
a good sign,
time
brother.
Flies when you're talking
That's
about
That's how it is walking through
stuff.
Your house.
And I'm very anxious. Like, I'm seriously, like I feel like my stomach's in knots just thinking
just,
about it.
Just
like,
a
I
description.
Mean, perfect.
What are the hours at Fright Dome?
Fright Dome is open 7 to midnight. Our calendar is at frightdome.com. You can find out all our dates. It's select nights. On the weekends, usually it's Thursday through Sundays. And then last week's Halloween falls on a Saturday. It's Wednesday through Saturday. So we're opening up an extra day that week. So I always tell people, get your tickets early at frightdome.com. We have fast passes available on there. We have our new VIP tour. We've got something for everybody. So come check us out. Help celebrate the 13th anniversary.
And we will check you out. And thanks again, Jason.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.